Hello, happy Monday morning. Yay! Boy, Dominic scooted out of here quickly, didn't he? Where'd he go? Was it something I said? Was it something I stepped in? Hello, folks. Happy Monday morning here at 1320 WARA and all over the world at WARAradio.com. This will be a full morning, 3 hours of non-marathon coverage in standard definition. Yep. Non-marathon coverage in standard definition. We are here for all of your non-marathon-related news this morning, while every other media outlet, if not on planet Earth, at least here in New England, will be all marathon all the time. We are your oasis. We are your water spot, as it were, if you're looking for non-marathon coverage on this beautiful, beautiful Monday morning, brought to us by meteorologist Jim Corbin, who, remember, not only reports on the weather, he creates it. It's already 68.4 degrees. Are you kidding me? Which is beautiful for us. Not so good for the marathoners. They like it a little cooler. But hello, folks. Late phone number, she is 508-222-1320, 508-222-1320. You can become a remote correspondent to the program by texting me at 774-287-6194. That's 774-287-6194. If we have any new listeners this morning, hello. Met a bunch of people Friday afternoon at the calling hours for Officer Savastano, Attleboro Police Officer Savastano, who had passed away. Gosh. Saw his oldest daughter, Mary Ann, who I went to college with at Bridgewater State College, the Harvard of Southeastern Mass. And then his other daughter, Sue, who also met at Bridgewater. She reminded me the first time we ever met was at the Riv. Yep, the Riviera. That bar on Route 18 in Bridgewater, which still exists, by the way. Looks to be a little classier now than when we were in school. And, of course, she married one of my great friends from college, Charlie Crumbaker. And as I told Charlie's children, they have four kids, Charlie and Sue. I can't tell you what we called Charlie in college because, well, we're in a holy place at the calling hours for Mr. Savastano. But that was Agent 6. It was a pleasure to meet you. Hello, Terry. And some other people. So I was going to say it was a wonderful night, but it was a wonderful, terrible afternoon. I mean, people getting together for the worst of reasons, but it's funny, as I've gotten older, funerals, as always, are very, very sad affairs. Calling hours have really changed a lot since I was younger. I remember, the first calling hours I went to, I was 12 or 13 years old. Our local doctor in Westboro, Dr. Boyd, who actually made a few house calls back then. Remember that? Doctors would come to you. But I remember her calling hours were the first calling hours I ever went to in my life. First open casket I ever saw. Boy, did that flip me out. I'm just not a fan of the open casket thing. I just don't get it. Seems really, really ghoulish to me, but that's another way where I seem to be on the opposite side of just about every other human being. I don't get open caskets. I'm not having one. I think the pictures all around the room are a much better representation of who the person was than an open casket. I was going to be more specific there, but no need to. But anywho, when I was younger, calling hours were sad and dour and tears left and right. And now that I've gotten older, the calling hours seem to be much more of a celebration of the person's life. A lot of laughter, a lot of great stories about the good times. Funerals are sad, but calling hours, I think we do a better job with that. Anyway, 508-222-1320 is the number, 508-222-1320. Ah, boy, crazy weekend. Friday seems like so long ago, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Man, Boston Celtics lost. In their first playoff game, their opening round game against the Chicago Bulls, Isaiah Thomas, the Celtics' best player, leading scorer. He's about, 3 feet, 2 inches tall in the NBA. Lost his sister on Friday night, Saturday morning, in a single car accident out near Tacoma, Washington, where he and the family are from. Saw a little bit of the first quarter of that game, that's all. But boy, that was emotional. Anywho, 508-222-1320, 508-222-1320. But the Celtics somehow got the number one seed in the Eastern Conference over the Cleveland Cavaliers. I could live 1,000 years and never understand how that happens. And as the number one seed, in hockey, the number one seed against the number eight seed can be competitive. Hockey's a much different game than basketball. In basketball, number one seeds never lose to number eight seeds. I mean, like, never. And the Celtics lost game one. Still looking for their very first rebound in that game. At least the part that I watched, I don't think they got a single rebound. Our beloved Bruins, they're tied with Ottawa at one game apiece. And game three is tonight, isn't it? At the Garden. So the Bruins, in game one, Ottawa snatched defeat from the jaws of victory, and the Bruins won. And in game two, the Bruins snapped defeat from the jaws of victory. So the series is tied at one game apiece, even though the wrong team won both games. Oh, well. And again, the phone number is 508-222-1320, 508-222-1320. Agent Six writes in, once again, you're mentioned in the Sun Chronicle today. Yeah, I saw that. Dominic told me about that in Peter Gay's column. We love Peter. Heck, I met Peter at Bridgewater State College in 1977. Peter says, I enjoy listening to WARA's Paul Healy. Hey, he spelt it right. Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. till noon when I'm in my car, but get irritated with callers who ignore the subject being discussed and talk about something totally different. If you're one of those callers, please comment on the topic Paul is addressing before moving on to something inane. Ooh, that's harsh. That's harsh. So Peter minds. I don't. Much. I mean, this show is ADD radio. We do bounce around from topic to topic. If you're bored with what we're discussing, don't worry about it. I'll probably move on pretty quickly. We don't pick one topic for an entire hour and, well, beat that dead horse for the entire hour. We tend to bounce around and move around, kind of like conversation is when you're hanging out with your friends and family. Usually talk about oodles and oodles of different things. So, Peter, one, thank you so much for the mention in your column today. I love the Monday Sun Chronicle, columns by Peter Gay, Bob Bamberg, and Bill Govea. Who's coming after you, Mansfield, today? Yeah, Mansfield, get it together. So Peter has a problem with that, but I don't. Hell, this is a local AM radio station. I'm thrilled to get any calls. What are you kidding me? Speaking of that, 508-222-1320 is the number, 508-222-1320. A little bit later, I'll be talking about, this PBS special that's been going on lately about World War I. Oh, God. And I've read books about it, knew about it, but finding all kinds of new information out about World War I and the aftermath, primarily, that I did not know. But boy, oh boy. Agent 76 writes in, Paul, the Bruins had them in the third period. Then the Bees let three goals in. Yeah, Carol and I went to, we took a mystery ride on Saturday afternoon. Just drove around, went down to Marshfield when she was a little girl. That's where her family used to vacation. Went by the old cottage, which is now a house that they used to stay in. Then came back, got into Quincy, went to dinner at the Inn at Bay Point. And came in, and the Bruins were ahead 2-1. In the third period, Bruins were ahead 2-1. Then they made it 3-1. I guess they scored all three goals in 6 minutes and 22 seconds. Carol let me sit facing the TV. Thank you, honey. Yeah. But once again, the Bruins are doing fine until I showed up and turned on the game. And then from that point on, it was all Ottawa all the time. Rats. But there is nothing like Stanley Cup playoff hockey. Oh, my God. First of all, hockey, kind of like soccer, but even more so, hockey is a player's game. I mean, the coaches can come up with strategy before the game, decide what lines to send out, but it is so difficult to control the puck. There are so many turnovers. The game is so fast. Hockey is a true player's game. And professional hockey, their playoffs, more than any other sport, the level of play is so much better, so much more aggressive, so much faster in the playoffs than during the regular season. Because in the game of professional ice hockey, in the National Hockey League, you have 82 regular season games in a season. 82. Utter insanity. And the reason why Stanley Cup playoff hockey is so good is because if you played in the regular season the way you play in the Stanley Cup, you know, all out, you would die. It's just, it's... Oh, so Stanley Cup hockey, just, the Angels sing every moment while teeth are flying all over the ice and players being broken left and right. The Boston Bruins have had four of their defensemen broken in the last couple of weeks. Stunning. They're going to be pulling up kids from, I believe, the junior team that plays at the New England Sports Village in Attleboro. Stunning. This texter wants to know, hey, Paul, what time does a marathon start? Beats the hell out of me. Who cares? Why, back in my day, when you only had a few runners, there were only 16 competitors in the first Boston Marathon. 16. But back in my day, it started at 9 o'clock, I think. Was that right? There was one starting time. Everyone lined up, they shot the gun off, and away you went. Now with a marathon, there's, is it 37 or 38? Different starting times for different groups. Elite runners, sub-elite runners, recreational runners, wheelchair runners, arm crank runners. It's oodles and oodles of different divisions. But if you really want to know what time the marathon starts, every other TV and radio station in New England can tell you that. Right here, we are very proud of our non-marathon coverage in standard definition. And Agent 76 says, I was wondering what happened to the Bruins. You brought them bad luck. By the way, tonight's game is starting at 11. Oh, thank you, Agent 76. So I'll turn the game on at 11. Maybe catch the highlights. And the Bruins should do far better without me watching. Yeah. 508-222-1320 is the number. 508-222-1320. Don't go away. We shall return after this.
You're listening to Paul Healy here on AM 1320.
Every 66 seconds, someone in the United States develops Alzheimer's disease. Not only is the disease hard on the ones afflicted, but on their caregivers as well. On Sunday, April 30th, from 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., Community VNA will be holding their fourth annual Spring Break Luncheon to aid patients with Alzheimer's and their caregivers. Spring Break takes place at Lake Pearl, 299 Creek Street in Wrentham. This event is open to the public and features Sunday brunch, entertainment, raffles, and a silent auction. For more information about the event, you can visit www.communityvna.com or you can call 1-800-220-0110.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You're bringing your daughter to her favorite pop star's concert. Do you A, wear earplugs?
A soft pretzel.
B, remember the moment with matching concert t-shirts.
That's gonna be $180.
Or we can just take a photo.
C, show her how you used to do concerts.
We're going crowd surfing!
I can't! He's too heavy!
Oh my god!
Or D, just roll with it.
Woo! Justin! Look at us! We're over here!
Justin! OMG! He just looked... I love you, Justin! I love you!
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Community VNA, with offices at 10 Emory Street in Attleboro, offers a wide variety of community-based health and supportive services to people of all ages. These programs are designed to maintain and improve our clients' well-being and quality of life. Community VNA is an experienced, compassionate home health agency certified by the state and federal government and has been named to Home Care Elite's 500, putting our agency in the top 5% of the nation for quality care. For more information, visit our website at www.communityvna.com or call us at 508-222-0118.
Call us now at 508-222-1320. That's
508-222-1320. Ooh, well, I got a gal with a record machine. When it comes to rocking, she's a queen. We'll have to dance on a Saturday night. I'll hold a loom where I can hold her tight. But she lives on the 20th floor of town. The elevators are broken down, so I walk 1, 2, 5, 3, 5, 4. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, more. Upon the 12th, I'm starting to drag. 15, 4, I'm ready to slide. Get to the top, I'm too tired to run. Well, she called me up on the telephone. Said, come on over, honey, I'm all alone. I said, baby, you're mighty sweet, but I'm in bed with the aching feet. This went on for a couple of days, but I couldn't stay away. So I walked 1, 2, 5, 3, 5, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, more. I'm on the 12th, I'm starting to drag. 15 to 4, I'm ready to sag. Get to the top, I'm too tired to run. Well, they sent to Chicago for repairs. Till it's a fixed, I'm using the stairs. Hope for her, of course, it's late. I love my baby too much to wait. All this climbing is getting me down. I find my corpse draped over a rail, but I climb 1, 2, 5, 3, 5, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, more. I'm on the 12th, I'm starting to drag. 15 to 4, I'm ready to sag. Get to the top, I'm too tired to rock.
Oh, Eddie Cochran, wow. Man. 20 Flight Rock by Eddie Cochran. I was only familiar with the Commander Cody and the Lost Planet Outlaws version of that song. That's the first time I've heard the Eddie Cochran version. I'm sure Dominic told you this. Eddie Cochran died in Bath, England, from severe brain injury sustained in a car crash near Chippenham, Wiltshire. I wonder if he was driving on the wrong side of the road, those nutty Brits. Gene Vincent was seriously injured in the accident. Wow, Eddie Cochran was only 21 years old when he passed. Wow. Wow. Man, we all talk about Richie Valens, the big bopper, Buddy Holly, who passed away in a plane crash in godforsaken Iowa. But Eddie Cochran, man, man, what a rocker he was, huh? 508-222-1320, 508-222-1320 is Lur-Number. Jim Jones not getting the point of the show, obviously. We're trying to have a show that's got non-marathon coverage in standard definition radio all morning long. 50 years later, Catherine Switzer will return to the Boston Marathon starting line wearing the same number an official tried to rip off her clothing in the 1967 race. I thought Bobby Gibbs was the first female runner in the marathon. I don't know. I don't know. Oh, well, we would go into that further and try to find out, but this is non-marathon coverage this morning. Comrade Joe, I guess not a hockey fan. Hockey, yes, son, always use your fist when you're playing a game. Well, Joe, the stick doesn't work for everything, for heaven's sakes, and we won't get into it today, but you can argue that hockey, not so much now, but back in the day when there was more fighting in hockey, people always complain about the officials and the referees, and let me think. Oh, yeah, every single sport ever invented. Hockey, one of the reasons you had the fighting and the violence on the ice is because the players police the game. And if someone is playing like a punk or a jerk you know, someone is playing like Brad Marchand, even though we love him because he wears our laundry, black and gold, players on the ice would take care of that. Oh, you want to be a jerk? You want to poke people with your stick? You want to hit people late? You want to give someone a cheap shot? We'll take care of that. Drop your gloves, put up your dukes, let's go. Anywho, 508-222-1320. I've played a billion sports, baseball, football, basketball, softball, rugby, ultimate frisbee. Frisbee golf. Badminton, for heaven's sakes. Volleyball, I've played them all. And ice hockey is by far, the most fun to play. God, is that a great sport. And then Agent 76, John, says the Bruins should take tonight's game. Uh-oh. Well, if they should win tonight's game, they probably won't. Agent 76 goes on to say, I'm taking my Bruins jersey out of my closet and put it on. That's my good luck charm. Now, is this a recent Bruins jersey, Agent 76, nice and baggy? Or is this an old Bruins jersey from when you were a kid, which may be a little too snug on you this morning? Wow. 508-222-1320 is the number. 508-222-1320. We got a lot of choices in life. We have many, many choices in life. We don't get to choose what family we're born into, or what situation we're born into. We have no choice over our birth. We have lots of choices once we're here, some more than others. And very few of us get to choose when and where we will die. One of the reasons for that is Dr. Kevorkian was considered a lawbreaker instead of an American hero, as my father always thought he should have been considered. But the circumstances of our death. This next story from Texas, is this a wonderful way to go? Or is this a horribly embarrassing way to go? I don't know. I'll just read the story and let you decide. Wow. Your reaction may be, I can't think of a better way to go. Or your reaction may be, oh my gosh, that's terrible. Boy, that'll be an embarrassing calling hours and funeral. Man, 67, dies of natural causes in a Texas strip club while he received lap dances. Plural. Robert Gene White, 67, was at the full service gentleman's club on Friday night. White had been receiving a dance when staff noticed he was not responding. Was the dancer offended at first? When he was lying there, lifeless, or sitting there lifeless, I wonder if she thought, boy, this guy thinks I'm a lousy dancer. Man, hey, let's go. I'm working here, pal. Come on. Little response wouldn't hurt. And by the way, you're a lousy tipper. After thinking he may have been trying to get out of paying, CPR was performed. El Paso County Sheriff's Office said it appears as though he died of natural causes. An elderly man has died while receiving a lap dance at a strip club in Texas. All right, first of all, I have a problem with that description. They told us he's 67. And then the first line of the story is, an elderly man? Elderly? 67's not elderly anymore, is it? Heck, they tell us 60 is the new 40. I mean, back in my day, 67 was elderly. That was old. Not anymore. How dare they call 67 years old elderly? You know some young punk wrote this story. Some millennial, for heaven's sakes. Robert Gene White, age 67, had traveled to the Red Parrot in El Paso, which describes itself as a legendary full-service gentleman's club on Friday night. Okay, a legendary full-service gentleman's club? I think for a legal full-service gentleman's club, wouldn't you have to go to the state of Nevada and not the state of Texas? I know the Chicken Ranch is pretty famous down there. Now that's a full-service club. Again, you may have wonderful lap dancers, wonderful strippers, but I have a problem in this story. One, with calling a 67-year-old man elderly, and two, what exactly do you mean by full service? I thought that was only legal in Nevada. The club's manager said White was unresponsive when his dance finished, and after the dancer initially thought the sexagenarian could have been trying to get out of paying his bill, they realized he was in trouble and began performing CPR. So her first instinct wasn't that, oh my gosh, this guy's having a medical emergency, this guy's passed out or unresponsive. Her first reaction is, this guy's faking it to get out of tipping me or paying for him. I mean, yeah, don't you pay first? I don't know. I haven't been in a strip club in about 30 years, but I would think you have to pay first for that kind of thing. I don't know. A short time later, employees called 911. Station KVIA reports. By the way, I also, station KVIA in El Paso, Texas. I think we have something in common today. They're not covering the Boston Marathon either. Although I'm not sure if they broadcast in standard definition or high definition. The El Paso County Sheriff's Office says it appears as though White died of natural causes. Police would not release any further details. Do you have any further details on this? Was Mr. Robert Gene White, may he rest in peace, married or single? If he was married, did his wife know he was at the Red Parrot, a legendary full-service gentleman's club? Or did he tell her he was going to meet the boys at the Knights of Columbus or American Legion for a few beers? Wow. Boy, that's embarrassing. I don't know, is it? Is that an embarrassing way to go, or is that an incredibly wonderful way to go? 508-222-1320 is the number. 508-222-1320. Agent 76 says, God bless him. He went to heaven happy. So I guess Agent 76 is on the, wow, what a wonderful way to go. In the movie The Big Chill, one of the characters dies while making love to Meg Tilly. We don't see that scene. It's described later. And the joke in that movie is he went out with a bang. Again, not a bad way to go. And Agent 48. Oh, okay. This is regarding, this is a completely different story. And again, Peter in his column today, Peter Gay in his column, his quick-hitting column in today's Sun Chronicle, he gets annoyed when callers call in with topics off of what I'm discussing. I don't. I'm just thrilled someone's calling. Here's a text that's off-topic, but important to the people of Attleboro. A heck of a lot more important to the people of Attleboro than Robert Gene White dying while receiving a lap dance in El Paso, Texas. Sergeant Woodhead resigned. You're familiar with him. He's the Attleboro sergeant, been in the force for 32 years under federal investigation for child pornography. Sergeant Woodhead resigned. You think that means he's guilty? Couldn't believe it. Well, it's been a four-month investigation. I think many of us are assuming he's guilty. I know, innocent until proven guilty. But who's kidding whom? I would imagine his attorneys would tell us that he is resigning so he can place his full attention and devote his full attention to beating these scurrilous accusations and clearing his fine name. Yeah. Or maybe not so much.
Senior citizens, attend a free dental screening at Community VNA in Attleboro on Saturday, May 6th, from 8:45 a.m. to 1 p.m. Participants will receive a free dental exam and have the opportunity to speak with our dentists in the clinic's relaxed, friendly setting. Participants will also be screened for oral cancers and have a chance to receive free denture cleanings. To schedule your free appointment, call 774-203-1906. The free dental screening is organized by the Elder Dental Program, a project of Community VNA.
Amigo Incorporated, located at 33 Perry Avenue in Attleboro, is the result of one family's journey to find answers for their autistic child. Founded by a small group of parents in 1971, Amigo has grown to include more than 30 residential homes, a fully accredited school, and applied behavioral analysis in homes, schools, and daycares. Amigo touches the lives of over 300 families in Massachusetts, offering services and programs for both children and adults with autism spectrum disorders and other developmental disabilities. For more information, please visit their website at www.amigoinc.org.
Call us now at 508-222-1320. That's 508-222-1320.
Here's a little more Eddie Cochran for you. Come on, everybody. That's back in the 50s when men were men, women were darn glad of it, and rock and roll songs were less than 2 minutes long. Yep, just, boy, both of those. 20-story rock and then Come On Everybody, both check in at less than 2 minutes. I can't read these remote correspondents right now because I'm deleting all of my messages. But we'll get to those in just a second. Ooh, look at that spinning circle go on my phone as it deletes old messages. All right, Eddie Cochran, born October 3rd, 1938, passed away April 17th, 1960, was an American musician. Cochran's rockabilly songs. It's funny, I'm not much of a country guy, but I love rockabilly. His rockabilly songs, such as 20 Flight Rock, Summertime Blues, Come On Everybody, and Something Else, captured teenage frustration and desire in the mid-50s and early 60s. He experimented with multi-track recording, distortion techniques, and overdubbing even on his earliest singles. He played guitar, piano, bass, and drums. His image as a sharply dressed and good-looking young man with a rebellious attitude epitomized the stance of the 1950s rocker, and in death he achieved an iconic status. So, wow, he was really ahead of the game in terms of, you know, technical stuff, overdubbing, distortion, all of that. Man. And I guess Buddy Holly was as well, those young minds. But it's funny, you look at Eddie Cochran, you know, who performed in a suit and tie when he played, and that was considered rebellious in the 1950s. Man. What's rebellious now? Not performing in a suit and tie, I'll tell you that. Cochran was involved with music from an early age, playing in the school band and teaching himself to play blues guitar. In 1954, he formed a duet with the guitarist Hank Cochran, no relation, and when they split the following year, Eddie began a songwriting career with Jerry Capehart. His first success came when he performed the song 20 Flight Rock in the film The Girl Can't Help It, starring Jane Mansfield. Ooh, Jane Mansfield. Let's take a minute to think about those. I mean her. Sorry. Her.
Yeah. Okay. That's enough.
Soon afterwards, he signed a recording contract with Liberty Records. Not to be confused with that famous insurance company, Slippery Mutual. Cochran died at age 21 after a road accident while traveling in a taxi. Wow. In Chippenham, Wiltshire, England, during his British tour in April 1960, having just performed at the Bristol's Hippodrome Theatre. Though his best-known songs were released during his lifetime, more of his songs were released posthumously. In 1987, Cochran was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. His songs have been covered by a wide variety of recording artists. I would say probably most of all. And again, I was born in 1958. He passed away in 1960. My familiarity, I'm ashamed to say, I knew about Buddy Holly when I was a kid. Knew about Ritchie Valens when I was a kid. Didn't know much about Eddie Cochran until I reached my late teens, early 20s, and started listening to the music of Brian Setzer and the Stray Cats. Looked into Brian Setzer, and he talked about his biggest early influence being the music of Eddie Cochran. To which I said, who's Eddie Cochran? Well, now we know. 508-222-1320, 508-222-1320. Okay, my phone messages are cleared up now. Let's back to our story about this gentleman down in Texas, Robert Gene White, age 67. Some people consider that elderly, not us. Passed away while getting a lap dance at the Red Parrot Full Service Gentlemen's Club, legendary Full Service Gentlemen's Club in El Paso, Texas. Was that a wonderful way to go or a terrible, embarrassing way to go? Not as bad as the senator in Godfather 2. Was that Godfather 1? Guess that was Godfather 1. You're all familiar with that, right? Comrade Joe says, I want to die in my sleep like my grandfather, not screaming like the others in the car. Yeah, that's... Boy, oh boy, that would be the preferred choice. My father, when he was at his very end stages... I remember he was agitated, fidgety, getting him into the bed, getting him out of the bed, wanted to go back in the living room, wanted to go back in the bedroom, couldn't get comfortable. Pop, what do you want? And he looked at me and said, I want to go to sleep and I don't want to wake up. My father's father, Pop, he might have had the best death possible. The best death possible. He was a practicing Catholic, not a zealot, but a practicing Catholic. He's late in his life, he would take his morning walks, and he takes his morning walk, stops into the church to catch the end of the 7:30 Mass, I believe, and while standing in the back of the church, suffered a massive stroke and was gone like that. Not a bad way to go. And according to Irish Catholic lore, you die in the church, boom, straight to heaven. So I think dying in your sleep might be the best way to go. Hey, what a cheerful discussion. Dying like that of a massive stroke while standing in a church, I think that's going to be number two on the list. Where dying of a heart attack at the age of 67 in a legendary full-service gentleman's club comes while receiving a lap dance, I'll let you rank that amongst yourselves, whether or not that makes it into the top 3 or top 30 or top 3,003 ways to pass away. Can I read this on the air? I'm not sure if I can read this on the air. Jim, if you're listening, can you just turn down your radio just for one quick second? At least he died with a smile on his face, says Agent 33, and he probably saved money on embalming because he was already Well, we'll let you fill the rest of that in because I'm not sure if I can read that. And then back to the Officer Woodhead story who resigned over the weekend after 32 years on the Attleboro Police Force because he has some bigger things on his plate than protecting and serving the citizens of Attleboro right now. This remote correspondent wants to know if he resigns, Officer Woodhead resigns, prior to conviction, does he get to keep his pension? That's an interesting question. Wow. Will he get to keep his pension? Because normally, and again, I am not an expert on police union issues, but I believe when your career ends with a federal conviction, I'm not so sure you get to hang on to that pension. I know we have some speakers of the House who were not involved in anything like child pornography. I know the last three speakers of the House in Massachusetts have been involved in lengthy court battles trying to hold on to their pensions because leaving office in disgrace and being dragged off to jail, not the best way to guarantee your pension. Man. 508-222-1320 is the number. 508-222-1320. It is April 17th in the year of our Allah, 2017. For most of the country, taxes were due. We have till tomorrow here in Massachusetts because today is another holiday, Patriots Day. Yay, Patriots Day, which, by the way, boy, that made for an easy commute down here today. And again, I have a lot of nerve to ever complain about my commute because once I get on the highways, I'm generally going against traffic. I'm traveling south when most people are coming north up to the Quincy, Boston area. But today was joyful. To all of you parents and grandparents out there, you have our sympathies. Right now it's 9:44 a.m. So we're a few short hours into the hostage crisis known as school vacation. Yeah. Another week off for those rotten little gifted crumb crushers who just had a week off in February. I don't know if the kids need another vacation. I'm quite sure the teachers do. Administrators? Please. Like, that's a tough job. I doubt it. So the administrators and the students, they don't need April vacation. They could carry on quite well, thank you very much. But the teachers, yeah, they can use this vacation. The lovely Carol McLaughlin of the Quincy McLaughlins and Jackie Romanicki, please don't take offense at this. I think Carol is kidding when she says this, but I'm not sure. She calls school teaching the greatest part-time job out there. Spoken by someone, obviously, who as an adult has never spent one day in her life trying to control those rotten little spoiled brats.
Pontificating with Paul and the Proletariat will be back in a jiff. He hates that peanut butter.
Stop by the Richards Memorial Library in North Attleboro on April 20th at 7 p.m. for Frozen Voices with Lynn Heinzman. The sinking of the Larchmont in February of 1907 is often described as the Titanic of New England. Of the approximately 150 passengers and crew members, only 17 people survived. Author Lynn Heinzman will talk not only about the tragedy, but also about how she went about writing her historical novel based on the sinking of the Larchmont. For more information on the event, email mholmes@salesinc.org.
Community VNA, with offices at 10 Emory Street in Attleboro, offers a wide variety of community-based health and supportive services to people of all ages. These programs are designed to maintain and improve our clients' well-being and quality of life. Community VNA is an experienced, compassionate home health agency certified by the state and federal government and has been named to Home Care Elite's 500, putting our agency in the top 5% of the nation for quality care. For more information, visit our website at www.communityvna.com or call us at 508-222-0118.
Call us now at 508-222-1320. That's 508-222-1320.
here she comes. Here comes that girl again. Wanted to meet her since I don't know when. But she don't notice me when I pass. She goes with older guys from out of my class. But can't keep stopping from my thinking to myself. She's your fine looking man. She's something else. The street.
Eddie Cochran. Boy, this song lasts forever, huh? 2 minutes and 4 seconds. That's the last Eddie Cochran song we'll play this morning, and that's the longest of them. Wow, 2 minutes and 4 seconds. An eternity for an Eddie Cochran song. Man. 508-222-1320 is the number. 508-222-1320. Again, Eddie Cochran passed away on this day in 1960 in Bath, England. Which, by the way, Rick Steves, he has that travel show on PBS. There was a repeat this week of his show in Bath, England. He made it out of there alive. My kids with their Auntie Linda visited Bath, England a few years ago. Loved it, loved it, loved it. 508-222-1320 is the number. 508-222-1320. Well, that's the Boston Globe. That's more national stuff. We'll get into that. Later. Oh, God. Hey. We're losing a state senator from this area. Who will replace Timulty? Speculation focuses on two area
Republicans.
Yes, Republicans. That's Latin for people who get working stiffs to vote against their own self-interests. As soon as state Senator James Timulty announced he was resigning to become the Norfolk County Treasurer, a much, much easier job than a state senator, and a job that comes with a healthy pension. Anyway, as soon as State Senator James Timulty announced he was resigning to become Norfolk County Treasurer, speculation started about who might run in the election, in a special election, to fill his legislative seat. Wow. So he's not even going to finish out his term? Wow. How cushy is that job, Norfolk County Treasurer? Does he have any accounting experience in his background, Senator Timulty? I don't know. But that's going to be a pretty cushy gig if you are willing to leave your state Senate seat midterm. Wow. The speculation zeroed in on two local lawmakers, state reps Jay Barrows, a Republican from Mansfield, and Stephen Howitt, a Republican from Seekonk. By the way, I'm reading from Jim Hand's story in today's Sun Chronicle. Both Republicans are well known in the area and have campaign organizations that could be activated quickly, as a special election would require. Barrow said he is flattered so many people have urged him to run and that he will think about it. I don't know if those are the same people that urged Paul Hero to run for mayor of Attleboro. Not sure. I'm seriously considering it. I feel that I have certainly worked very hard over my 10 years in the House, and I've been effective representing this area. It would be a natural step for me. The message between the lines there is, plus, I've got plenty of cash in my campaign accounts. Howitt said he would take a look at a possible run, but enjoys his current position in the House. He said he started getting calls from people Thursday evening asking if he would run. That's the $64,000 question, he joked. Takes a lot more than $64,000 nowadays to run for a state Senate seat. Republican Michael Berry, a former Walpole selectman, is also said to be weighing a run. On the Democratic side, Ted Phillips, a Sharon Democrat, said he's seriously mulling a run. He said he might announce something early this week. Phillips, 33, is an aide to State Rep. Louis Kafka, a Democrat of Sharon. Do you think he's related to the... And if your name is Kafka, do you have to run a pessimistic campaign? I mean, it's tough to have a name like Kafka and run a joyful, hopeful, forward-looking campaign, isn't it? Oh, well. Where are we here? The district seems to be more favorable towards Republicans than most of Massachusetts. It has a habit of electing Republicans to the state legislature and voted for Republican Governor Charlie Baker and former Senator Scott Brown in the past. Okay, I voted for Charlie Baker. Charlie Baker's the real deal. Wicked smart, experienced, bright, a coalition builder. I have voted for Governor Baker. Senator Scott Brown, please, please. Tall, good-looking guy, nice head of hair, quintessential empty suit. I'm sure Scott's a nice guy. People seem to like him. But as a senator, really? Really? Talk about over your head. Although Baker only won the governor's race by 2 points in 2014, taking 48% of the vote in a four-way race, he dominated many of the towns in Timilty's district. He took 61% of the vote in Rehoboth, 60% in Mansfield, and Foxborough, 59% in Norton, and 55% in Seekonk. Baker, with his sky-high approval ratings, could be a major factor in a special election if he chose to campaign hard for the Republican candidate. Boy. Again, on local levels, on local elections, if there is a qualified Republican running and I can vote for him, I will. Our Massachusetts congressional... Well, in the Massachusetts House, the Massachusetts Senate, 86% Democratic, 86% not a fan of one-party systems. On a national level, I vote for the Democratic candidate or the left-leaning candidate at every single opportunity. I am a proud progressive, and I want to keep society progressing forward and not sinking back. Sinking backwards in time, the way so many of our Republican national politicians want to do it. Make America white again. Ah, we were happy when only white males mattered. Weren't those good times, folks? Yeah, for white males. Period. End of sentence, end of paragraph. Not so much everyone else in the country. Yeah. If either Howitt or Barrows were to win the Senate special election, there would then have to be another special election to fill the vacant House seat. Timilty's Bristol and Norfolk Senate District includes the local communities of Foxborough, Mansfield, Norton, Seekonk, Rehoboth, and half of Attleboro. State Rep. Paul Hero, Democrat Attleboro, said he cannot run because he does not live in that portion of Attleboro that is in Timilty's district. Hero is running for mayor. Oh, by the way, where's the... John Oliver, last Sunday night. Oh, rats, I forgot to DVR John Oliver last night. But John Oliver's last show was about the horrors of gerrymandering. Saw another story today about gerrymandering, you know, arranging districts. So it's basically impossible for the incumbents to lose. It was a fascinating thing because, one, gerrymandering is truly, truly awful. Horrible. Why do we have to have funny-looking, odd districts when we already have things called counties, you know? Whenever we can, I think voting districts should be based on county lines, not some arbitrary lines driven up by, drawn up by politicians in power to secure their own political future. Rats. Darn it, I can't find it. But gerrymandering is awful. Awful. And then I forgot the John Oliver comment I was going to make. Oh, well, it's Monday morning. Off to a slow, rough start. We are continuing with our non-marathon coverage here in standard definition. If you want information about things like, has the marathon started yet? Who are the favorites? Who's winning? Sorry, can't help you. No marathon coverage all morning long, and we will proudly bring you no marathon coverage in standard definition radio. Thank you. Thank you for being a part of our non-coverage today. We are coming up to 10 a.m. After the break, we will have a meteorological update from the amazing Jim Corbin, who has truly given us an amazing spring day. Everyone in this area, with the exception of these skinny neurotic people running in the marathon, everyone should be thrilled with today's weather. Right now it's 71.1 degrees. Feels like 77, though. Does that mean it's a little humid? Oh, no, it's only 40% humidity. But for everyone, it's a beautiful spring day, with the exception of the skinny neurotic people on the long procession to Boston. Wow. 508-222-1320 is the number. 508-222-1320. A little bit later, found an interesting story. Well, interesting to me. What's inside the deepest hole in the world? What is the deepest hole in the world? We'll find out about that. I think it's more relevant. Who has the thickest skull in the world? I could be a candidate for that. And also, United Airlines was in the news again. Two stories about United Airlines over the weekend. One, United Airlines removes engaged couple traveling to their wedding from a plane. Yep. Yep. Also in United Airlines news, if you are sending your pet, if you are either sending your pet in a plane to travel or if you are bringing your pet with you to travel, guess which airlines your pet is most likely to die if you are using that airline to transport your pet. Go ahead, guess. I'll give you a hint. It rhymes with United. Oh, no, wait. I'm sorry. It is United.
You're listening to WARA, 1320 AM, Attleboro.
In April, registered nurse Suzanne Faith will present a three-part Alzheimer's education series for family caregivers in the Attleboro Public Library's Balfour Room. The series begins with Alzheimer's Disease and Related Dementias on April 11th at 1 o'clock p.m. and continues at the same time on two subsequent Tuesdays, April 18th and April 25th. This free series is offered by Hope Dementia and Alzheimer's Services in collaboration with a grant awarded from Harwich Human Services. Space is limited for these workshops, so pre-registration is required. To register, email info@hopedementia.org.
The Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks has been part of the Attleboro area since 1906. They have always been involved in community service and charitable fundraising, giving back to our veterans, supporting our seniors, and providing youth enrichment opportunities, such as soccer and hoop shoots, fishing derbies, and dictionary projects, while also providing academic scholarships. The Elks are over 800 strong locally, and their members are their greatest asset. To learn more, you can go to attleboroelks.org. Remember, Elks care, Elks share.
Music is a bridge between the material and the spiritual. My name is Harvey Lauer, and I'm 82. As a blind person, you have to be aware that nobody can tell you what you can or can't do. You really have to try things. My folks got me a little radio in 1940, and that was the best Christmas present I ever got. When I was 11 years old is when I started to play music, play the piano, and then the accordion, and then the cello. My wife, who was also blind, was a good cook. When she died, that's when I started Meals on Wheels. America, let's do lunch.
It's Meals on Wheels.
1 in 6 seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Call us now at 508-222-1320. That's 508-222-1320.
Now for a great new group from Belfast with an old standard, Baby Please Don't Go. Here is, or here they are, anyhow, they are them.
Anyone recall the lead singer for the group, Them? Yes, the band Them made their first concert appearance on this day in 1964. This is Please Don't Go, one of their big hits. Their biggest hit was a song called Gloria. Anyone know who the lead singer is? Yep, there he is, a young Van Morrison with a band, Them, out of Belfast, Northern Ireland. Or as Carol and I refer to Northern Ireland, fake Ireland. All right. It is a blissful 71.4 degrees. What can we expect weather-wise or meteorologically-wise for the rest of the day? Good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
Hello.
Gloria.
Yes.
G-L-O-R-I-A, Gloria.
Wow.
September 27th, a famous date.
Oh, that's my birthday.
That's right. That's why I said it.
Why did they release that song on September 27th?
You mentioned Gloria, didn't they? Didn't they do that song?
Oh yeah, that was their biggest hit. The band Them.
And we were singing that day in 1985 when we had Hurricane Gloria. But
I'm sorry. Okay.
That's all right. No, I should have got right to what we're doing right now today, and what we're seeing. You just mentioned about it felt a little humid.
yes.
Early this morning. It's getting less humid as each hour passes.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I am monitoring the dew point, which literally here in Mansfield at around 6 o'clock this morning was 58, and it is now down to 47.
Yeah.
And the lower it gets, as we all know, the cooler it can get at night. So that's why it was so warm early this morning and overnight. It's going to be down into the low 40s by tomorrow morning. But for the rest of the afternoon, rest of late morning and afternoon, we're looking at sunshine, mix of a few passing high and mid-level clouds, dimming the sun, nothing to worry about. Temperatures are low, so it may briefly reach the mid-70s in another hour or two and then fall back into the low 70s. Then once we get into sunset, which is around 7:30 now, yeah, how about that, Paul? Sunset at 7:30. Yeah. So you'd start humming that one.
Yes.
The temperature will fall pretty quickly, though, late tonight. Now, tomorrow is going to be another beautiful day, at least to start, but we'll have thickening clouds. The big story over the next few days after today is the wind direction and also cloud cover, especially by later tomorrow and tomorrow night. Northeast winds will take over. Not strong, but get this, highs tomorrow won't get out of, at best, low 50s. So we're going to be about 35 degrees cooler tomorrow than we were yesterday afternoon when many of us were in the mid-80s. I'm sure you could feel that warmth yesterday. Gusty breezes, sure, but it was not humid, though. I mean, it did come up a little bit overnight with the humidity, but not to summer standards for humidity. So I'll say this, but today, one more day, we are under an elevated fire risk. There were a lot of mostly minor brush fires around much of Massachusetts and Rhode Island yesterday, mulch fires, people throwing, usually they are cigarette butts thrown on the side of the road where there's maybe a little area of mulch, bushes, and things like that. And they typically take hours to start. Bottom line is, it's going to be much cooler tomorrow, mainly dry, maybe a touch of mist along the East Coast. And then on Wednesday, low 50s again, increasing clouds and some rain moving in by Wednesday night into Thursday, at least the first half of Thursday. Thursday, only in the mid-50s. So I hope everyone did not put away their jackets for the season. Even for the last few days, it's been so warm. And then on Friday, another band of rain. Matter of fact, that could be late-season cold, rotten rain with highs only in the 40s, potentially, on Friday. So, again, cold rain, see-your-breath weather. Again, no big storm, but certainly enough to make you feel like, gee, I thought spring was finally here for good. Nope, not.
Did you just say see-your-breath weather?
Yes, on Friday especially.
Wow. Oh, my heavens, look at that.
Cold. Yeah, rock cold air. And then, and believe it or not, Paul, there's a chance, maybe, Friday night before the precipitation ends, more likely north of Boston, up towards maybe Portsmouth, New Hampshire, those places, there could be some wet snowflakes mixing in at the end Friday night.
Whoa, that'll set
the stage. What?
That's out of line, Jim.
I told you. No, that's not likely around the Attleboro area, but probably up towards New Hampshire and Maine. Then on Saturday, the good news right now is if we can get through the next several days, beginning tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday, mostly sunny, a little gusty on Saturday, probably somewhere in the mid-50s and mid-60s on Sunday. I would say the next day that'll come closest to today's weather is Sunday, so at least for the rest of the week, including the weekend. So we're going to have to wait 6 days before we have weather like this or coming close this week.
Okay. Well,
everything's fine.
It's a beautiful day today, unless you're skinny and neurotic and you're trying to run in this weather for 26 godforsaken miles.
And it's a little warm for them today. They like it more in the 50s.
Yes.
Most runners will tell you, and I think you know and agree, if you do running, the 50s are generally pretty good. You don't want strong winds, but at least the wind is mostly at their back, I think, today.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing, I know someone, it might have been Jim Jones, that mentioned it's a woman issue. That woman, Switzer, she's running the marathon again on her 70 years old, and I was able to catch it about an hour ago when they started the women. She actually was the shooter of the gun to start the women about a half hour ago. Your thing with women, which I agree with, women have been treated over the decades and hundreds of years. Even in 1967, they were trying to throw her out of the race. That Jock Semple, I think the guy's name.
Yes, exactly. Women were considered physiologically unable to run a marathon. Wow.
And I can't believe it. Even in 1967, they were thinking that.
Well,
there was one other woman. I know you mentioned this on the air. There was a woman that did run it before, but she was not officially in the race. She's
not
a number.
So Bobby Gibbs did not have a number, But Catherine Switzer did.
Switzer did at 261,
yep.
And that's the number that she's going to run today. And believe me, I'm not a big marathon fan, but I know this, that she's going to run today. Then they're going to retire 261 for the marathon.
Good. Now, here's something. The lovely Carol McLaughlin of the McLaughlins and I were discussing. This was last year at the marathon when it came up that in 1966, at least, and before that, males considered females physiologically unable to run a marathon. Ignoring the fact that women show incredible strength and endurance and tolerance for pain when going through a little thing called childbirth.
Yeah,
and oftentimes, trust me, you are in labor delivering a child for a much longer period of time than you would be running a marathon, which, depending on your ability, would be anywhere from 2.5 to, what, 5.5 hours at most.
It's more, longer than a marathon.
Exactly right, exactly. So yeah. So they have the strength and the physical capability to go through childbirth, but not run a marathon. My God, are men arrogant creatures.
Gosh. That is amazing.
And as my mother used to say, and this is only tangentially related, if men could get pregnant, abortion would be a sacrament. Wow. But if men could get pregnant, there would be no problem with overpopulation. Oh, shoot, rats. That reminds me. There was a art column from last Friday's Globe that I meant to bring in. Darn. I'll have to look in my bag and see if it's in there. Oh, well.
By the way, what do you think? I'll end on this. Again, this is the last warm day we're going to have for a while, but eventually, obviously. Matter of fact, I'll say this right now. Next Thursday and Friday, Paul, a week from Thursday and Friday, we probably could make another run at the 80s. So, it's just we're kind of trying to come out of the hole here, talking about that hole in the earth. I'm curious about what you're going to say about that.
Yeah.
But what are your thoughts about Isaiah Thomas playing last night?
I only watched some of the first quarter of the game because I was watching. In 2010, there was a miniseries made called Pillars of the Earth, based on the book Pillars of the Earth by Ken Follett. Might be my favorite all-time book. It's about the building of a cathedral in England in like the 11 and 1200s. So I was watching more of that than sports yesterday. But I did see Isaiah Thomas hit his first like 3 or 4 shots and just a steely-eyed look of absolute joyless determination. He was unbelievably determined to win that game to honor his sister who passed away in a car accident early Saturday morning, a single vehicle accident. It looks like she fell asleep behind the wheel. No suspicion of, drunk driving or anything right now. But it really puts it in perspective, how important is a stupid game when you've lost your sister. But I can't believe the Celtics couldn't win that one for Isaiah.
Kind of reminds me. Game, but I heard this morning the score, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
It must have been, But I guess it shows you, and again, I'm not a big basketball fan, but it shows you how important, though, he is to the team when he doesn't play, and even when he's playing at half.
He played fine. He had 33 points. He had 8 assists. He did everything right. It's the rest of the team. How can you have an
NBA? Oh, I just thought the rest of the team should have gotten a lift from him playing in his condition.
Yes,
and doing so well, they should have been like, "We're gonna win this one
yes.
for him."
Yeah, they won one for the Gipper.
Yeah.
You can't win one for Isaiah, or at least maybe get a rebound or two, for heaven's sakes. It kind of reminds me of one of my all-time favorite movies, Brian Song, with Billy Dee Williams. And when Billy Dee Williams, as Gale Sayers, gives a great speech, "I love Brian Piccolo, and I want all of you to love Brian Piccolo, too. And we're going to dedicate this game to Brian Piccolo." And they go out, and they lose the game. Their teammates in the hospital bed dying of cancer. They dedicate the game to him, and they lose the game. So after the game, a bunch of the players go to the hospital to meet with Brian Piccolo, played by James Caan. And they hand him the ball, and James Caan says, "Guys, you may not know this, but when you dedicate a game to someone, you're supposed to go out and win the game. The Bears failed to do it for Brian Piccolo, and now the Celtics failed to do it for China Thomas, the sister of Isaiah Thomas." Stunning.
Almost like an exact
Yeah, people unclear on the concept.
you think now that they're probably going to lose the series? Not that here we
don't know.
Talking about that, yeah. but you just wondered. You know, there are people that could care less about his feelings, and they're like, "Oh, look at this now! Because of this happened, now they're going to." You know, they're going to lose the series against the Bulls, who are probably the worst team in the playoffs.
Yeah, Jim, there are people who couldn't care less about Isaiah Thomas's feelings. You know what they're called? Bettors. Those are the people betting on the game.
That is true. Well, on that note, I will give you a good bet. If you bet positive weather today, you are correct. You'll win a lot of money. And if you bet it's going to be a negative day tomorrow, you will win as well.
Excellent. Thanks a lot, Jim.
What a terrible ending.
Oh,
but anyway, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, away we go. Yes. Oh, God. Sports bettors. Wow. 508-222-1320. 508-222-1320. Mark LaFontaine, Mr. Blue Pride, checks in, watching the Boston Marathon. We're not, Mark. You may have tuned in late. So just in case you tuned in late, Mark, for the second year in a row, we are dedicating the 3 hours, 9 a.m. till noon on this program, to non-marathon coverage in standard definition radio. Every other radio and TV station in New England, all marathon, all the time. This is your oasis. This is your water station, as it were, against marathon coverage. Mark says, I think you should run in the next Boston Marathon. You are still in great shape. Mark, I'm in lousy shape. When I was 50, I was going on 40, maybe 35. Now I'm 58 going on 88. Used to run 5K and 10K races. There was a time in my life when I did think I would run a marathon someday. Started training for it. The longest run I did was 12 miles. Went out for a 12-mile run. Bored the bejesus out of me. I was a really good runner. I was probably running 12 miles at, you know, 6.5, 7 minutes a mile. Which is better than the average bear. Not nearly as good as elite marathon runners, but better than the average human being. But I couldn't do it. It was just too insufferably boring. God. 508-222-1320 is the number. 508-222-1320. We'll be back with more non-marathon coverage after this.
You're listening to Paul Healy here on AM 1320.
Stop by the Richards Memorial Library in North Attleboro on April 20th at 7 p.m. for Frozen Voices with Lynn Heintzman. The sinking of the Larchmont in February of 1907 is often described as the Titanic of New England. Of the approximately 150 passengers and crew members, only 17 people survived. Author Lynn Heintzman will talk not only about the tragedy, but also about how she went about writing her historical novel based on the sinking of the Larchmont. For more information on the event, email mholmes@salesinc.org.
So, you know, I'm a dog, and I'm kind of new to this family, but I've noticed a trend. My humans do this thing where they go around and get all my toys and hide them in this basket. But it's always the same basket, and it's always the same place. And then they act so surprised when I find them. But I'm like, hello? That's where you put it last time. Humans are the worst at hide-and-go-seek.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Amigo Incorporated, located at 33 Perry Avenue in Attleboro, is the result of one family's journey to find answers for their autistic child. Founded by a small group of parents in 1971, Amigo has grown to include more than 30 residential homes, a fully accredited school, and applied behavioral analysis in homes, schools, and daycares. Amigo touches the lives of over 300 families in Massachusetts, offering services and programs for both children and adults with autism spectrum disorders and other developmental disabilities. For more information, please visit their website at www.amigoinc.org.
Call us now at 508-222-1320. That's 508-222-1320.
This guy walks into a bar.
Rats hit the wrong song. Darn it. Oh, well. Anyway, Liz Phair is 50 years old today. If you're listening to the end of the Dominic Show, the preview feature is not working on computer number one. Son of a gun, I picked the wrong song. But Liz Phair, 50 years old. Oh. Female rock and roller. If you're familiar with her music, really original. Some of it really, really foul. And you got to be very careful with Liz Phair. You never know which songs you can or cannot play. Oh, you know what? And now that I think of it, that's another one I can't play. Oh, well, happy birthday, Liz Phair. You're 50 years old. People either love her or hate her. Welcome back to Pontificating with Paul and the Proletariat here at 1320 WARA. Maybe I ought to come up with something that will motivate people to call or at least text the show here. It is the first day of school vacation, April vacation, the hostage crisis known as April vacation. School vacations, which completely disrupt the lives of parents. Back when we were kids, it was no big deal. Parents ignored us anyway, the way God intended. That's how you're supposed to raise a kid. Feed him, dress him, make sure he gets to school, and then let him run around all day long like the world is their playground. That's how it was when we were kids. Did your parents know where you were 24/7? Was there a baby monitor in your room when you were asleep in the crib? No, no. And life was better then, dagnabbit. Now, so even on school vacations were no big deal. Big deal, the kid's home. When he's at school, I ignore him. Now he's home for school or vacation. I'll ignore him. That's what parents did with kids, and we were all happier. Now, school vacations disrupt everything. Because children have to be monitored 24/7, or someone might abduct them. First of all, don't worry about it. Your kid's probably not that cute anyway. 508-222-1320, 508-222-1320. What's inside the deepest hole in the world? In my case, the question is, what's inside the thickest skull in the world? But here we're talking about planet Earth and not my head. In 1970, Soviet scientists started drilling the Kola Superdeep borehole in Murmansk, Russia. Murmansk. Don't know if that's near Minsk. Oh, Minsk is Belarus. What am I talking about? Anywho, yes, the Kola, K-O-L-A, Superdeep borehole in Murmansk, Russia. They wanted to learn about the Earth's crust, and they wanted to beat American scientists who had abandoned their project, MOHOLE, in 1966. M-O-H-O-L-E, one word, MOHOLE. No idea if that was a contraction or if that was short for more hole. You know, we're digging deeper, more hole. That's our MOHOLE. Stunning. So not only were we having a race to space with the Ruskies in the 60s, we were also having a race inside the Earth, which is an interesting thing. Do you know we know more about deep space than we do about deep oceans? One of the reasons for that is you can look through a telescope to see deep space. There's only so far you can see deep into the ocean without actually going down there, but I digress. After 24 years of digging and several branches in the hole, I'm not sure what the branches in the hole are,